controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me set on fire with spirit strong and active will press on to make us good. New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How about all the sisters? Hallelujah. Amen. And then the brothers. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We better get warmed up because for eternity we'll be shouting hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we come to the final word here in the vital factors of the Lord's recovery. Thank the Lord for the real heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the brain, the real vital factors of the Lord's recovery. We see the first vital factor is the great truth of the economy of the triune God. The second vital factor is the revelation, seeing, experiencing, and enjoying the all-inclusive, wonderful Christ. And the third vital factor is the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ today is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. He is this wonderful Spirit so that He could be our life.
Amen.
And by His being our life, we can be His enlargement, His expansion, His expression to be His body. We can be the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because we have the life of Christ and the person of Christ to make us members of Christ. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, hallelujah, you are a member of Christ.
Amen.
So in the very first message, we touch the matter of God's economy with His plan, His way, and His goal. And eventually, that's basically what we've been doing in this whole conference. We touch the very truth of God's economy, the center and content, just this Christ experientially as the life-giving Spirit, and what's the goal of the triune God embodied in Christ as and realized as the life-giving Spirit. It's the organism. Organism, not an organization, but organism.
Amen.
The organism of the triune God.
Amen.
Of the very body of Christ. So I have all these, I didn't do it exactly, you know, measure them exactly correct, but I want to put this on. I think it will be a help. It's a help to me to even kind of review this whole weekend. Number one, taking care of the vital factors of the Lord's recovery, we want to take care of the triune God and His economy, so we'll just put GE. That does not mean General Electric. God's economy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we'll put all-inclusive Christ. All-inclusive Christ. Amen. And then, life-giving Spirit. And practically, life-giving Spirit with our Spirit. And then thirdly, or fourthly, G-O-W, which was our special fellowship, God-ordained way. And lastly, B-O-C, Body of Christ. Amen. And this is what we have been covering this weekend. Now I'd like to fill some of this in. God's economy, in a simple way, is His plan. The all-inclusive Christ is the center, reality and everything in this economy, this plan. The life-giving Spirit is the secret. He is the secret of the center. Amen. For our experience. And the God-ordained way is, I don't know any other word, the way. The way that God practically moves in His economy by the center as the secret. And then the body of Christ is the goal. Is the goal. Now concerning God's economy, which is His plan, the key word is we need to see. We need a controlling vision. Oh, may a clear controlling vision of... Isn't that good? I love that song. That song is so good because that song includes God's economy. It includes the triune God. It includes Christ. It includes the life-giving Spirit. It includes the body of Christ and the New Jerusalem. Concerning the all-inclusive Christ who is the center, we need to... Ooh, I'm not sure of the word, but I think... let's say, love. And we could, I'll put a little subword. Love means enjoy. Also means to hold Him. Christ is the holding center. He's the holding center. The life-giving Spirit who's with our spirit, who is the secret, we need to be according to, like Bob and Mary testified in Romans 8:4, we need to walk according to this secret. We could also say exercise our spirit. And the body of Christ, which is the goal, the God-ordained, which is the way, we need to practice. And the essence of this practice is shepherding. The God-ordained way, in one word, is shepherding. If, as our brother Lee mentioned to us at a point, if all the truths that were released by him are not complemented with us shepherding and caring for the sheep, taking care of the God-ordained way, all the truths will become doctrine. So that's why the Lord told, love me, shepherd the sheep. And the body of Christ, which is His goal, should be our unique aim or focus. A good verse for God's economy, which is His plan, which we need to see, is 1 Timothy 1:4. The all-inclusive Christ, who is the center, whom we need to hold by loving Him and enjoying Him. A good verse, there's many, but 1 Corinthians 1:9. God's called us into the enjoyment of this person. The life-giving Spirit, who is the secret of God's economy, He's the secret of the center, and by whom we walk, and according to we walk according to Him. Romans 8:16. The factor's a book called "The Secret of God's Organic Salvation: The Spirit with Our Spirit." Okay. And then the God-ordained way, which is the way we need to take, we practice, which is shepherding, unceasingly shepherding. And I want to ask you a question right now. Who's the first person you should shepherd? Whoever you're around. That's right. Many times you think, oh, it's somebody over there. What about your neighbor? I have seen brothers and sisters come into meetings, sit through a whole meeting, they don't even have a clue who their neighbor is. They don't even know their name. You don't have any idea who's on either side of you. The first person to shepherd is even those around us. If you're married, the first person to shepherd is your husband or wife. If you're roommates, the first people to shepherd are each other. Otherwise, we're always thinking, oh, I got a shepherd. That's somebody out there in the woods. Am I right? So the God-ordained way, the way we would take the practice of way of shepherding, well, what should we put? Shepherd to, it's for the, huh? Okay, we'll do John 21:15, and we'll also do Ephesians 4, Twelve and 16. I don't know. 12 is for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, right, Jim? Unto the building up of the body of Christ. Yeah. And then the body of Christ, which is the goal, which should be our daily aim, as we work to do a work with this Christ, who's doing a work in his marvelous three stages and sections of his full ministry. As we do this work, we have the same goal that he has, only one unique goal. That's our aim, and that is the building up of the one body of Christ. And what would you say? I think maybe Ephesians 4:12 also. Does that seem good? And Ephesians 1, yeah, that's good. 1:22 and 23. That's good. Anyway, I hope this is a help. And this is actually exactly what we've covered this weekend. And I just put this together just by considering it. But isn't it good? God's marvelous economy is full of nothing but the triune God dispensing himself. This wonderful triune God dispensing himself is embodied in the wonderful all-inclusive Christ. This wonderful all-inclusive Christ is realized and experienced as the wonderful life-giving Spirit. This wonderful life-giving Spirit is experienced by us to be distributed into others by taking the God-ordained way. And everything is for the building up of the body of Christ. So we need this plan, this center, this secret, this way, this goal. We want to see the plan, see his economy, love this wonderful one, enjoy him, walk in the Spirit, practice and shepherd others for one aim, and that is the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. I think all this is a good sequence. Praise the Lord! Amen. Hallelujah for the Lord's recovery! Amen. Hallelujah for the vital factors of the Lord's recovery! Amen. That we may cooperate with him so that he could have the organism of the triune God, the body of Christ. Now we'll come to the last outline, saints. God's economy is that God became man so that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, to produce the organism of the triune God, the body of Christ, which consummates the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Brothers and sisters, oh, wow, this wonderful Christ. In Romans 8:3, it says he became in the likeness of the flesh of sin, because of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And this one who became flesh, then in Romans 1:3 and 4, was designated in his humanity. He was divinized. His humanity was officially designated God. He became the firstborn Son of God in his humanity. And then Romans 12:4-5 was so that not only he would become the firstborn Son of God, but he would also become the life-giving Spirit for God's will. Romans 12:1-2, I knew those verses for many years as a Christian. which meant, I beseech you, brothers, that you would present your bodies as a living members, you know, as members, you know, as a living sacrifice, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. I didn't know what God's will was. You have to read Romans 12, 4 and 5. Otherwise, you don't know what God's will is. Everybody wants to know what God's will is. God's will, you know, everybody in their view of God's will is, what's God's will? Well, who should I marry? Where should I live? What job should I have? What major should I have? How much should I pay for rent? God's will. God's will is this, this, this. What kind of car should I get? That's God's will. Brothers and sisters, those are all minor. It doesn't mean God's not interested. He's interested in every detail. But if you don't have the big will, it's very hard for you to know the little will. We need to take care of God's big will. God's big will is the body of Christ. We give ourselves every day for the will of God. Open your Bible to Romans 12. Romans 12. Okay. You may present, you see verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Now read verse 2 together. Go. And do not... How many Christians are totally clear about what God's big will is? Very few. Very few. Thank the Lord for His mercy to us. None of us are anything, but the Lord's had mercy. His big will is the goal of His economy. It's the body of Christ. Prove God's will. Even become the proof of God's will. We want to be the proof of God's will by becoming the body. Verse 4 and 5, let's read those. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members
do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and members of one another.
The whole rest of the chapter is talking about the body of Christ. God's main will is the body of Christ. How about we shout hallelujah for the body of Christ? Hallelujah!
For the body of Christ.
I tell you, when you care for Christ as your unique first love and care for His heart's desire, His will, the body of Christ, everything in your life will be put into the proper perspective. You'll be able to know God's will related to many details. Many details, because your life is in context. The context of Christ being your first love and Christ's desire and goal, according to His heart, the body of Christ. Then you will know His will about many, many, many things. Okay? Now, saints, so Romans 8 shows He became flesh. Romans 1 takes us back to the fact that He became the life-giving Spirit, was designated in His humanity. All of this so as He could get into us to make us the body of Christ. Romans 12. And eventually the body of Christ consummates the New Jerusalem. So you got Revelation 21, 2. Let's open your Bible, Revelation 21, 2. Revelation 21, 2, together, okay? And I saw the holy city, new, coming down. What's the New Jerusalem? Not a dead, lifeless, material, physical city. New Jerusalem is a person. A corporate person. It's the triune God who's been processed, consummated, and now because of His work on His people, over the centuries, His people also have been not only chosen, but redeemed, transformed, renewed, glorified, tripartite people to become constituted with Him, and even to become the same as He is. Now the two have become one. The two have become one, and this is called the New Jerusalem, the Holy City. Now, what does the word holy mean? Holy. Ephesians 1 says God chose us to be holy. What does holy mean? The footnote makes it clear. Holy means separate, different, distinct, not common, like God Himself.
Amen.
That means holy is God. Amen. But that means His people have become the same as He is.
Amen.
According to His holy nature. God and His people have become mingled, united, mingled, and incorporated with each other. The whole city is holy.
Amen.
And it's called New Jerusalem. Let me ask you, what's new?
God.
Only God is new. There's some Galatians life study indicate the only thing new in the whole universe is God. You get done with the weekend, you go to work, somebody's at work or somebody at school says, hey, what's new? There's nothing new. Solomon said, nothing new under the sun. Everything is old. There's only one thing new in the whole universe. It's a person.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
It's the triune God.
Amen.
By our experience and enjoyment of Him, we become the same.
Amen.
Just in one verse, it shows God makes us the same as He is in life and nature. Holy.
Amen.
And new.
Amen.
And we become the bride of Christ. Prepared as a bride. That means we have to be exactly the same as He is to match Him. We have to be brought up to His standard. We have to be brought up to a standard in our life, our nature, our constitution. Oh, that means we've become the same as He is. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So New Jerusalem, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord for His mercy to us through the ministry of the age to help us to see New Jerusalem is a person. And it's a couple. And in and through this couple, this God in His Trinity is absolutely glorified to the uttermost and testified to the entire universe. And both God and man are in the highest, holiest intimacy and ecstasy for eternity. They lived happily ever after.
Amen!
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, this is awesome. So, I just wanted to touch these verses to show how the Bible concludes with this truth that we become the same as He is in life and nature, not as an object of worship in the Godhead, but to match Him and to for the fulfillment of His heart's desire and His purpose. The center of God's economy is Christ.
Amen.
There it is. The goal of God's economy is the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this wonderful Christ, who is He? He is the holding center. He's the holding center. No Christ, no body of Christ. No enjoyment of Christ, no body of Christ. He is the unique holding center for the sake of the body of Christ. Now, B, the divine economy is God's eternal plan to dispense Christ into His chosen people to produce, constitute, and build up the organic body of Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:10, saints, it says, unto the economy of the fullness of the times to head up all things in Christ, things in the heavens and the things on the earth, in Him. How does He head up things? Not just by beating us over the head, shape up. He heads up everything by distributing and dispensing Himself in a very wonderful, sweet way as life and everything into our being.
Amen.
To head us up out of any heap of collapse. So His heading up causes us to be brought into the reality of the body of Christ to constitute and build up this organic body of Christ. So this is His wonderful economy. Satan has a satanic chaos that's always warring against the divine economy. Brothers and sisters, just the fact that we are here caring for God's economy, caring for this Christ, Satan hates this. He would rather us be numb, dumb, cold, interested in anything else. But we're here for God's economy, that God's need would be met, Christ would have his bride, and Christ would have a warrior to defeat his enemy, to execute the sentence that's already been pronounced through his death on the cross. We want to be that people. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So, practically, saints, to stand against Satan and his chaos, and to stand with God and his divine economy, with his goal. I would say the biggest secret, saints, what's the biggest secret? To be kept from the enemy and to be standing with God for his divine economy. The biggest secret related to this verse is heading up, chapter 1, verse 10. His heading up means give him the headship. Give him the preeminence. Colossians 2:19 says, holding him as the head, clinging to him, give him. And this takes you to the application in Revelation 2:4. Take him as your first love. There's a book by our brother Lee called Christ and the Church in the Psalms, and it refers to Psalm 68:18, talks about Christ ascended on high, led captive a train of vanquished foes, gave gifts to men. And it's a very high verse, revelation of Christ in his ascension. But the principle that's brought out for six chapters in that book is that the secret of the Christian life, being preserved for the Lord against the satanic chaos, is never cease giving Christ preeminence in your life. Amen. Never cease giving Christ first place in your life. When he has the preeminence, everything gets headed up. Amen. When he has first place, everything is in order. Amen. And Satan is under your feet. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we want to cooperate with this heading up Christ by holding him, giving him the first place and the first love. Lord Jesus, I love you. When you get up in the morning, brothers and sisters, we not only want to call on the Lord, say amen, good morning, Lord Jesus. Sing to him. Call on him. Pray, read, open. Brothers and sisters, we need to spend some time, even if you would just spend 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, just concentrate on him. Sing and call and praise. And do not forget to tell the Lord many times, especially beginning in the morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. I think our brother made a comment at one point that was something. Until you tell the Lord you love him, morning revival has not begun. Morning revival hasn't begun till you tell him you love him. Amen. You know, it's like if I go away for a long trip and I come back and I go into our apartment there at UCLA. My wife sees me, falls down on her face with her face to the floor and says, oh, big husband, I worship you. I want to shine your shoes. I want to vacuum your carpets. I'm going to wash your dishes and I'm going to cook meals for you. And I say, stand up, silly woman. Give me a kiss. I love you. That's like us. We get up in the morning. Yeah, I'm going to shine your shoes, God. And I'm going to wash your dishes. And I'll vacuum your carpet. Lord said, would you stand up and give me a kiss? Would you just tell me, Lord Jesus, I love you? I'm tired of your religion. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Oh, we better say that two times. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus,
I love you.
Oh, Lord!
Amen.
God's aim in His economy is to have a group of human beings who have His life and nature inwardly and His image and likeness outwardly. They're a corporate entity, the body of Christ, to be one with Him. One means intimate. And live Him for His corporate expression. D. The main contents of the New Testament are that the triune God has an eternal economy. That's what we've been doing this weekend, taking care of the main contents of the New Testament, are that the triune God has an eternal economy according to His good pleasure. This is His hobby. This is His entertainment. This is His recreation. Amen. Pay attention to God's hobby. Amen. You want to have fun? Get into the right entertainment. According to His good pleasure, to dispense Himself into His chosen and redeemed people, to make them the same as He is in life and nature, and to make them His duplication, that they may express Him. Amen. Saints, let's read, I think, for appreciation and for infusion, let's read Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses... Starts with 14, but let's start with I bow my knees to the Father. But let's start with 16 and go through 21. Okay, we'll go ahead and start with 14. Okay, brothers, would you start with 14 and sisters say amen at the end of the verse? And then sisters 15, go. Amen. Amen. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner. Amen. Amen. That may pull off strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are. Amen. Amen. Together. But to Him who is able to do superabundant above all that we ask or think, according to ever and
ever.
Forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a wonderful picture of God's economy, and this is a prayer for experience, right? I bow my knees to the Father. The Spirit would strengthen me into my inner man, and Christ the Son, the center of God's economy, would build His home in my heart. And the more He builds His home in my heart, the more He builds His home in our hearts, the more we become strong together.
Amen.
We become strong together to apprehend His vast dimensions. We need to be together. Nobody can apprehend the dimensions of Christ. But together, apprehend His dimensions. And we get built into His fullness. And carried away and lost in His love.
Amen.
And the result is unto Him be glory.
Amen.
He gets expressed. So this is a tremendous, tremendous picture and even a prayer that keeps us right in the center of God's divine economy.
Amen.
For the goal of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is seen in verse 19. The fullness of the One who fills all in all. In this same chapter, it says, Christ is unsearchably rich, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The more we enjoy His riches, the more we increase with Him and become His fullness. And when there's fullness, then there is expression. When there's expression, that's glory. That's glory. The divine, so the point here is this, saints. The more we become Him experientially, the more we express Him. Every day, oh Lord, strengthen me into my spirit. Oh Lord, make home in my heart. Oh Lord, make me full of strength with the brothers to apprehend your dimensions. Oh Lord, fill us with a knowledge surpassing love. I want to get lost. Tell your neighbor, you need to get lost in the love of God. And what's the result? We become the fullness. We express Christ unto Him as glory in the church. Who's able to do this? Him. Now Him unto Him who's able to do superabundantly above what you can ask or even imagine, according to His power that operates in us. Now E, the divine economy is God and man becoming one entity, one who is God yet man yet God. Okay, what's 1 Corinthians 6:17? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And look up 1 Corinthians 12:12. This is a tremendous verse. 1 Corinthians 12:12. This is a great, great verse. Okay? When you have it, would you read it? Everybody that has it, do your best. Go ahead. Go. Body, one.
Body.
Amen. So Christ is not only the head of the body, Christ is also the body of the head. He's the, not only the head of the body, but the body of the head. The body of Christ is Christ. The head of the body of Christ, the body of Christ is Christ. This is wonderful. Acts chapter 9 was the chapter where Paul, before he got saved, was Saul. He was persecuting the believers, killing them, imprisoning them. And the Lord came in chapter 9, verse 5 or so. And he was, by the light and everything, he was thrown to the ground off his beast. And he was blinded. He didn't eat for 3 days. And the Lord, according to life study, was good. The Lord was keeping him focused on heavenly TV, channel one, broadcasting into him the vision of God's economy. And he said, he spoke to him, Saul, Saul, the Lord spoke to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? This is from the heavens. And here he is blind, can't see, no doubt thinking, when did I ever persecute you? And by these 3 days of Channel 1, God's economy being televised into his being, he became clear that this Jesus was really God in the flesh. That his death did not end everything. He was resurrected. He was ascended. Not only was he in the heavens, but he became the life-giving spirit. Amen. And Paul's the one who wrote this. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Why? Because he saw the vision. The Lord showed him. The Lord is the Spirit. And he realized this Christ that was speaking to him was not only in the heavens, but he'd also become the life-giving spirit, and he was living in all the members that Paul was persecuting. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. And he began to realize this Jesus is not only the individual Jesus who was crucified, resurrected, and ascended, but he'd become the life-giving spirit, and this Jesus had been enlarged and expanded to be the body of Christ with many members. Praise the Lord! So he realized all the believers were the enlargement of Jesus. Amen. This is the body of Christ. This is the goal of God's economy. Amen. Praise the Lord! Amen. So he began to see this. Hallelujah. Amen. He began to see Christ as not only the head of the body, but he saw Christ as the body of the head. He saw all the members of the body are Christ.
Amen.
Lord said, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus." Apparently, you're persecuting Matt.
Right.
Actually, you're persecuting me. That's me. That's me. This is God's economy. Makes it very clear, saints. His economy is God, man becoming one. God yet man, man yet God. F, the issue of God becoming man becoming God is an organism. This organism is the mingling of God and man, the body of Christ. Don't you love Acts 9? I love Paul's conversion. That really speaks a lot to us about God's economy. Christ is processed. The very triune God with his plan was embodied in Christ, became the life-giving spirit. And by getting into the disciples and there shepherding others, this body had been enlarged. And this was Jesus. This was Jesus living again on the earth.
Amen.
In and through his body. This is wonderful. Now, Roman numeral 2, the consummation, saints. So, Roman numeral 1 shows that the body of Christ is the goal of God's economy. Okay? I get this point. Roman numeral 1 is touching that the body of Christ is the goal of God's economy. Roman numeral 2 is stressing that the body of Christ is the consummation of our experience of grace. God has a goal, and we have a consummation of our experience of him as grace in his economy. The experience of the grace of God in his economy is the church as the body of Christ. So grace is the manifestation of the triune God in his embodiment in three aspects: the Father, the source, the Son, the element, and the Spirit, the application. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of Christ." I am what I am. What's grace? Grace is God in Christ as the Spirit coming into us to be our life supply, to be our enjoyment and our everything. Amen! Hallelujah for grace! So the body of Christ is not only the goal of God's economy, the body of Christ is the consummation of our experience of the triune God as grace.
Amen.
Not as the law, but as grace.
Amen.
As the one who can be enjoyed. Oh, you know, when I mentioned when I first started, moved to Los Angeles and came into the church life, 1969, I was teaching with six brothers and we were driving every day, the whole way to school, singing and calling on the Lord. We're just so simple. And wherever we went, we ended up just speaking to people and singing to people and helping them to call on the Lord. And I had the whole, some one of my physical education classes calling on the Lord and doing jumping jacks. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. And I was just enjoying the Lord so much. I got in a little trouble with the school system, but we got adjusted. But anyway, even the football team, before they went on the field, just they would get together and put their hands together. Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Amen. I enjoyed that so much. Anyway, many seeds were planted. Then we brothers many times would meet each other for lunch and maybe McDonald's or somewhere here, and it ended up meeting people and singing to people and speaking, and but not planning to do things. We were just in the enjoyment of the Lord. And I don't know how many people we contacted or got, you know, something of the Lord got into. But out of all the people, I was there 4 years teaching, out of all the people that we were involved with, I don't know any of those directly that ever came into the church life. But that little city called Lawndale, which is a suburb of L.A., about 24,000 people. But out of that little suburb where we're teaching, there are now 18 saints who are solidly in the Lord's recovery. And I believe many times the Lord says, you just enjoy me. You may go out the front door to contact people. I'll bring them in the side door. Don't worry. You just enjoy me. Don't always work. Don't always look for just immediate direct results. Keep enjoying Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Lee touched this principle. Many times we'll go out the front door, we're burdened, but the Lord brings people in the back door. Main point is we don't worry about it. We just, we have to have a major. Our major is grace. What are you majoring in?
Grace.
Ask your neighbor, hey neighbor, what's your major? And you're working on your thesis. It has not been finished. We won't be finished until the Lord takes us. Amen. We've graduated, not yet. Like somebody asked Brother Lee when he first came to this country, what seminary did you attend? He said, I attended the seminary of Body of Christ, and I have graduated, not yet. I like that. Anyway, saints, indirectly, the Lord will do something. Our job is take the way of grace.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Christ is grace?
Yes.
Okay, everybody here in the room has to be clear. Turn to the last verse that the Apostle Paul wrote before he was imprisoned. Probably martyred, 2 Corinthians 4:22. 2 Corinthians, this is the last verse that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy 4:22. I'm sorry. What's your name? George. 2 Timothy 4:22. Let's read this with a strong spirit. Go. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace
be with you.
Amen. The last verse, he said, don't forget. He said, I've written to you many, 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 many things. Don't forget my final word. It's like parents, you know, who leave the house and they leave their children at home. They say, okay, rule one, blah, blah, blah. Don't open the refrigerator and eat all the cake. And don't do this and do that. And the last thing that they say is, don't open the door for any stranger. That's the most important. Okay? The final word, the Lord, many, 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 many things, the final word, Paul says, don't forget, the Lord is with your spirit. Grace be with you. You may forget the other things I told you, but don't forget this. You forget this, you're out of God's economy. And then, let's go to the very last verse of the whole Bible. Let's go to the last verse of the whole Bible, written by the Apostle John, under the Lord's inspiration. What's it say? The grace of the Lord Jesus, all the saints, amen! The last verse again, grace. Brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of God's economy, his goal in his economy is the body of Christ, the organism of the body, consummating the New Jerusalem. And this wonderful goal is just the issue of our experience of grace. We want to be grace people. Grace people. I love in the full-time training in Anaheim, there's a place called Grace Court. Most of the trainees live in Grace Court. Grace is a wonderful word. So, grace! Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, grace to you! Grace denotes the contents of God's eternal economy for the producing of the body of Christ to consummate the New Jerusalem. Aren't you glad God's not for doctrine? It says the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship, the flowing ship, the reaching ship, the mingling ship, the experiential ship of this wonderful life-giving Spirit be with you all. Amen. See, what God wants today is that we experience. What does God want today? What's God want today? He wants that we experience the grace in His economy so the divine Trinity may have an organism. That's what He wants. He wants us to experience grace as we leave here. Just be clear. What's the Lord want as we leave? He wants us to experience grace.
Amen.
Don't miss grace. Don't forget, the Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
Grace be with you.
Amen.
Every part of the organic body of Christ is the issue of the body, the grace of God in the economy of God. Every part of the body of Christ is the issue of grace. Isn't that good? Brothers and sisters, if we take the way of enjoying the Lord, everything becomes the issue of this grace. And this is for the body of Christ and the fulfillment of the economy of God. Hallelujah! That's why Paul said, I am what I am, not because I'm wonderful. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, the last Roman numeral, the body of Christ is the fullness of the all-inclusive Christ, the one who fills all in all. What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the fullness. It's the fullness. If we had a person here that was really, really, really big, maybe 7 feet, 8 feet tall, and weighed about 2,000 pounds, that would be fullness. I read in the paper the other day, I don't know what recently, there was some wrestler in India. He is 7 feet 10, 7 feet 12, and he weighs 430 pounds. And he's a big guy. Anyway, that's big. But there's fullness there. Anyway, the point is, it's just an illustration. There's a fullness. It's the fullness of the all-inclusive Christ. But a physical body is a poor illustration. There's no body like the body of Christ.
Amen.
This fullness. Eventually, how many saints will be in the New Jerusalem? I have no idea. But it could be close to a billion. It could be close to a billion. I don't know. that's big. Amen. Okay, the church is the body. The body is the fullness. These two levels of is are in succession rather than in parallel. The body is the fullness of the head, and the fullness of is the expression of the head. The fullness of Christ issues from the enjoyment of the riches of Christ. Saints, don't forget to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
The fullness comes from the enjoyment of the riches. Amen.
Amen.
When I get up in the morning, Lord Jesus, you're my food and my drink. Ooh, if I'm going to have a little biscuit, I'm going to have a little cookie or something with a cup of tea. Lord, you're my cookie and you're my tea. Ooh, and Lord Jesus, you're my grape nuts. Ooh, and I love you. Ooh, you're my sugar frosted flakes. Amen. You're my orange juice. Orange juice means OJ, oh Jesus. Oh, we just want to enjoy the Lord everywhere. License plates that are ahead of you. There's so many numbers and everything. You know, Jake, all kinds of license plates. Everything reminds us to enjoy Christ. Okay. The fullness of Christ issues from the enjoyment of the riches of Christ. The fullness of Christ is Christ experienced by us, assimilated by us, and constituted into our being to become our element. Brothers and sisters, daily, let's begin. Not carrying out some kind of routine duty, not just some kind of... We want to build a proper habit. We need to have a habit. We need to be regular. We should build up something. But we're not here just for some religious kind of ceremony. We are here to enjoy the Lord. We're here to get our heart open, our spirit open, and our mouth open, and to enjoy the Lord. And nothing helps you to enjoy the Lord more than loving Him. Even when you're reading some verses, exercise to love Him. To love Him is a great, great matter. And even if the verses are lousy outwardly, they're not that wonderful. I tell you, if you love Him and call on Him, touch Him, I tell you, every verse becomes food to you.
Amen.
Amen. The very first verses I ever pray read, Proverbs 30. The ants are a feeble folk, but they gather their food in the summer. The rock badgers and the lizards and the spiders. but just calling on the old Lord Jesus, the ants. Amen, the ants. Hallelujah for the ants. And I tell you, we were laughing and giggling and everything, but we got fed, ooh, to the uttermost. And the spiders end up in King's Palace. We ended up feeling like we were in the palace of King Jesus.
Amen.
Just by prayer reading. So we need to exercise our spirit. And our spirit is mainly a spirit of love.
Amen.
God gave us a spirit of love.
Amen.
We love Him. We love Him. Lord Jesus, we love You.
Amen.
Lord, we love You.
Amen.
D, let's read D and 1 and 2 together with a strong spirit. Go. Such a great Christ needs the church, His body. Brothers and sisters, we're not here as Christians just looking to the Lord for our own need. We are here caring for God's economy with His center, His wonderful secret, His way, and His goal. We're here all together for God's need. If you are here for God's purpose, God's need, you will have your needs met. You will be a rejoicing Christian. We care for God's expression. Is there an adequate expression of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C.? No. Is there an adequate enough expression of Jesus Christ in Maryland, in Virginia, in California, in America? No. We have to be burdened for His substantial expression. Is there an adequate expression, Bill and I go to Africa, expression of Jesus Christ? No. But the Lord is moving. The Lord's moving in America. The Lord's moving in D.C., Maryland. Amen.
Amen.
Massachusetts.
Amen.
New York. Connecticut.
Amen.
New Jersey.
Amen.
Pennsylvania.
Amen.
California.
Amen.
Let us be one with Him. He has a goal in His economy, the body of Christ. We're one with Him for this goal by taking the way of grace. May we be the crazy lovers of Jesus, enjoying Him every day as grace, allowing Him to work Himself into us, to make us His fullness for His expression. We are one with the Lord that Satan's expression would be wiped off this earth, and that Jesus and His testimony would cover this earth and people see nothing but Him.
Amen.
We are for the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
How about we stand up and shout hallelujah. We are for the testimony of Jesus.
Hallelujah. We are for the testimony of Jesus.
Again, Lord Jesus, we really love You.
Lord Jesus, we really love You.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit's whole be set on fire with spirit strong and active will. Made God New Jerusalem. It's a little bit high, just a little lower. A clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit's wholly set on fire with spirit strong and active progress on to consummate God's goal. New Jerusalem. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen! Hallelujah, saints!
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
How
about we use the rest of the time, stay standing for a minute, but when we sit down, just stand up and declare one line.
Amen.
Just one line, one verse, one thing, but don't miss 1 second. No gaps.
Amen.
Shoot down the devil in the gap.
Amen.
Amen. Well, one or two are standing, three or four or six or eight are standing. I mean, one sharing. And we just redeem the time. We got about 8 minutes, I think.
Amen.
Something like that. Close to that. Hallelujah for the vital factors of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So
may we do our best to take grace. Release your spirit by the Lord's grace.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Go.